also her sisters we've been praying for, both Patricia and Gail Guy, have somewhat improved their situation anyway. So we're very thankful for that. And I also thought of Brother Giles Partlow. And there are others, but just remember all of these in our prayers. So thankful, Brother John, Sister Gladys, were able to be with us here today. I'm going to ask Brother John to come and speak as the Lord will give him liberty. Please pray for Brother John. Just pray that the Lord would supply just what we need today in the way of instruction from his word. And it's good to be here. There's a little old church that I love so well. And we just thank the Lord for all that he provides for us. So I ask Brother John to come. We'll sing a verse of, Just As I Am. Okay. Just as I am with my blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee.
Everyone, it's a lot more people here than it was when I sat down, so it's good to see you all. It's good to be here with you, and would ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a few moments this morning. You know, the weather was a little hectic coming down this morning, and kind of reminds me of life. The storms that we encounter in life are so much like that. The sun can be shining, the weather can be bright, and everything's calm in a natural way, but within us, the storms are raging all around us. And I'd like to go to one of the Psalms this morning. Pray that the Lord will bless us as we go. And in all things, so thankful that we had a Savior who was willing to come to this world to redeem us unto his Father. So thankful that we had a Savior who was obedient, even to his death on the cross.
Amen.
Who willingly gave up his life for us, that we might have liberty in this world. Liberty and access to the Father, that we might freely go and freely worship our Father without any intervention from man and without any need for anybody to go on our behalf, but that we had access to the Father through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 120 psalmists, a short psalm. I'd like to read the entire seven verses you're hearing this morning, and trust and pray that the Lord might bless us with a few thoughts that we might be able to share with you today. Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall we be given? What shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty, with coals of juniper. Woe is me, that I sojourn in Meshach, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace. But when I speak, they are for war. You know, I think that psalm here paints for us a picture of life. You know, we think about our condition in this world, being a people where there's two nations. There's that new creature that we have been given in that new birth, and but yet there's still that old nature that we have to deal with as we journey in this world. And we have our ups and downs in this life, and sometimes we wish that we could stay up. We know we can't stay up on our own. We know that we need the Lord in order to bear those things that we bear in this world, in order that we might journey in a way that might be glorifying to God. We need Him in order to do those things. We can't do them on our own, but yet we've been told. Not only have we been told that we can't do anything without Christ, but we've been told that we can do all things through Him. So we're in a situation, brethren, when we're blessed to realize who we are and why we have been purchased and set apart to the glory of God, that we might live a life indeed that would glorify our Heavenly Father in a way that would be pleasing in His sight. The psalmist right here, he says, "In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me." What a privilege it is, first of all. What a privilege it is for us as little lambs of God to have been quickened and given some level of understanding that when we find ourselves being pressed about with the trials and cares of this life, and they come in just about every form that you can think of. I mean, if it's not our own personal sickness or health, and it's someone who's close to us, or if it's not some need that we may have in a natural way as someone close to us, but this distress that the psalmist talks about comes to a little child of grace in just about every aspect of our lives. And one of the greatest joys is for us if we are blessed to remember the promises, the sure promises of the Lord our God. That is one of the things, brethren, when I think about my own trials in life and my own life in general, one of the greatest hindrances that I have in this life is this flesh that stands before you. You know, I know that when trouble comes my way, I know that when the stresses and stressors of life come my way, I know that I am not in these things alone. I've been blessed to understand, as well as you, that we have a Savior, a Redeemer that we're able to call upon to deliver us in a timely way as we journey in this world. We know all those truths, but yet oftentimes we suffer to live a life where those truths seem to be so far and so vague in our lives, and so we're so far removed from those truths that we suffer. We find ourselves in distress at time from time to time until oh, the Lord blesses us and touches us in a way that we're blessed to cry out to Him who is able to deliver us and who is able to redeem us in a time of need as we journey in this time world. I'm so mindful of that scripture that tells us to put on the whole armor of God. There's a reason why that scripture tells us to do those things, brethren, so that we are able and equipped and ready not to fight the world, brethren, but be able indeed to rest in Him who has redeemed us unto the Father, to be able and ready to call upon Him in our time of distress, in our time of need, that there's not a moment in our lives that we can journey in through this life first and foremost with the thought of thy precious Savior on our mind and that promise that He made unto us that He will be with us in every circumstance of life. And He has bid us, brethren. He has bid us to come. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
He promises you rest nowhere else in this world. As you journey, brethren, rest doesn't come from anything in this world, but it comes from Him who has promised to give you rest. But He bids simply to come unto me. Not to come unto anybody else, Although God raises those that are close and dear to us and are able to give us counsel in a time of need in this world, but He bids us to come unto Him and to Him alone. And in that coming, brethren, we will find peace, we'll find joy, we will find a rest and a peace, brethren, that surpasses all of our natural understanding. And the psalmist says, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. He hears our cry, brethren. You know, sometimes we so far removed that we make these half-hearted attempts to cry out unto the Lord, and we're made to feel by the adversary that He doesn't hear you. Oh, brethren, it is not God who doesn't hear you. It is us, brethren, who are so far removed and so far off the beat, off of that path, that we feel like He doesn't hear. We feel like He doesn't care. Oh, brethren, God is not an author of confusion. When He promised you that He will be with you, that is exactly what He means.
Amen.
When we have those foolish thoughts that, you know, for some reason God doesn't care, or for some reason God is not has just gone off and left me to fend for myself, brethren, that is just a lie that the adversary brings your way. And you remember that He has always been a liar. He always will be. Don't expect Him to come to whisper the truth to you.
Right.
That's not who He is. He's not going to. His joy is to see your misery. And our joy, brethren, is in the Lord. And that is the only place that we're ever going to give it. You know, the psalmist says that, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. You know, in one aspect, we can look at this world that we live in. And we can look at all of the deceitfulness of mankind, all those that surround us, how they lie to us all the time. But in another aspect, brethren, we can look at ourselves in this flesh of ours and these lying lips of ours. You see, brethren, we can always look at our life circumstances in an outward way. But oftentimes we're not blessed. And I call it blessed because when we're blessed to realize, brethren, that the biggest part of this issue of life that is in front of me or in front of you is me and you.
Yeah.
And when we're blessed to see that and to realize, brethren, that these lying lips are my lips, these lips of deceit are my lips of deceit, brethren, because I praise the Lord out of one side of my mouth and I'm off trying to please the flesh in another side. And I find myself caught betwixt these things, doing those things, brethren, that all that inward man desires not to do. Running after flesh and not being able to do those things that the inner man would bid me to do, knowing that those things are most profitable and most beneficial for me and for you as a little child of grace as we journey in this world. Why are there obstacles, you might say? Why can't we just live a life that's full of a bed of flowers, or the roses without the thorns? Why can't we just live that kind of life as we journey in this world? Well, perhaps, brethren, just perhaps, that if things were that great, void of trouble, void of controversy or anything like that, then it just might be that this old nature might feel that there's no need for God. But you see, brethren, this man, this flesh of ours, this man who's born of a woman, brethren, is of but a few days, but full of troubles.
Amen.
And one thing that I have learned through experience in this world is that when trouble comes my way, it heightens my sensitivity that I need the Lord. I can go through life, brethren, where life seems to be so grand and glorious and everything is just happening exactly like I want it to happen. And then it becomes all about me. It becomes all about satisfying this old flesh of mine. But let controversy comes in a way that brings me into a state of distress and a state of enlightenment that I can't handle this, or that this is not where I need to be. And then I realize, brethren, that it was indeed this lying lips and deceitful tongue that has drawn me and brought me to this place. Oh yeah, the adversary is there to wreak havoc in our lives and seek it to devour us, as Scripture would say. But Scripture also tells us to draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. To submit yourselves unto the Lord, and in doing that, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what Scripture tells us to do. To resist the devil. Now, how are we going to resist the devil? By submitting ourselves to God and drawing nigh unto God. You see, we can't separate those two things. You see, because if we think that we're going to resist by saying here, said, okay, devil, come my way, I'm ready for you, we will fail every single instance. We're not smarter than he is. He is deceitful. He is cunning. He knows your weak spots. He knows exactly where to send those little fiery darts in a way, in a manner to just to sort of twinkle that little flesh of ours just enough to draw us away from that peace that the Lord has given us. So when we think about being delivered, or it's not just being delivered from this world and the trials and the evil and sin of this world, but it's to be delivered from this old nature of ours as well. That we might be delivered in a way, brethren, that we know that we have to live with this nature. We know this war is going to be with us until we leave this world. Until I or till you give up that last breath, we're going to battle with this old nature of ours. But wouldn't it be sweeter if we were blessed to feel more victories than defeats? Well, the only way we're going to be victorious, brethren, is simply to do that which the Lord has bid us to do.
Amen.
Victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in me, it's not in you, it's not in what we're going to do, but it's in submitting ourselves unto the Lord. And He will carry you through. He will carry us through, brethren. We simply just submit ourselves unto Him. Oh, not with these lying lips and deceitful tongue, but with all that is within me and all that is within you. You know, when the Scripture tells us to trust the Lord with all of our hearts, it is not bidding us to give the Lord head service. Has nothing to do about where your head is, you see, because where your heart is, your head's going to follow. But if you follow in your head, you're going to be all over the place, brother. That's just the way our nature is. When Scripture says to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, that is all that's within us, all that we have been blessed to understand. As God's little children in this world, all of that we put towards that trust that we have in him, brethren, who has delivered us with an everlasting love, and he will always deliver us as we journey in this time world. God is not a one-time deliverer. He delivers us in every instance, every aspect of life. He is there. If he hadn't delivered you, brethren, in every aspect of life, trust me, you would not be sitting where you're sitting this morning.
Amen.
Sometimes that deliverance, brethren, comes about as a still small voice. Sometimes it comes about as a soft, warm summer breeze. It's just so pleasing and refreshing that it just draws us. And sometimes it's how the Lord moves in our lives to deliver us in our time of need. Says, what shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Oh, brethren, well, when it comes to those outwardly that are wicked, those that are not the Lord, we know judgment will come. When it comes to us, God's little children, we know this old clay tabernacle will go by the grave. There will be a separation. And that spirit will go back home to be with the Lord.
Absolutely.
Then we will be released from life's burden. And that old corruptible, sinful old tabernacle that went by the way of the grave, it will be changed. It will be raised in a glorified way. And one sweet day when the Lord returns, it will unite with the Spirit. It will forever be in the presence of the Lord. That is our hope, brethren. That one sweet day, that when we're absent from this flesh, that we will be in the presence of the Lord. You know, we may have in times of life heard people say that. And says, well, you know, well, that's no big deal. So what? Well, brethren, look at life this wise. There's a people that have not been loved God and never will be. And when they leave this life, they will go to that place called hell. And will forever be separated from the Lord our God. That place of eternal torment. So if you think it's no big deal,
wow.
Think about the hope that you've been given. That one sweet day, that when you're absent from this flesh, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. If you think that's a small matter, brethren, that is the greatest gift that has ever been given to mortal man.
Amen.
It is precious, brethren. It is a precious gift. He is Lord of all. He's your Lord. He's my Lord. And how sweet that promise is. That all that the Father has given him, that he will lose none. That he will raise them up on that last day. And no one will snatch them out of his hand. What a glorious promise that is, brethren. And that the Father is greater than all, and no one will snatch us out of the Father's hand. No one, no, not life, nor death, nor anything at all will ever separate you, brethren, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if you think that's a small matter, brethren, oh, brethren, it is the greatest gift that you will ever receive. You're part, brethren, of that grand assembly of the Most High God. You may look around and think it's just a few of us. Oh, brethren, we are so numerous as the stars in the heaven and the sands on the seashore. A man, an innumerable number that no man will ever be able to number, because God has purposed it to be that way. He knows how foolish we are. How many brethren, if we thought there was a way, we would try to figure it out. If we thought it was a way that we'd go down the street and figure out who was one of the gods and who wasn't, we're stupid enough to try to do that. We're just that brazen and that bold that we would indeed ignore the righteousness of the living God and seek to raise and heap that righteousness upon ourselves. That's just who we are by nature. So when we think about that gift that we've been given, brethren, oh, brethren, let us look at it as something so precious. So precious, brethren, has no price. Because the price has been paid by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
We have been purchased, brethren, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a small thing, brethren. He came from heaven's pure world to redeem a people. And brethren, he has given us that hope that we're one of those that he has redeemed.
Amen.
Oh, man, brethren, imagine being one who is alien from God and having no hope at all in this world. And remember that there is a people that way. That is not just a statement, brethren, that is a truth. That there are a people in this world that have no hope. They're ailing and separated from the Lord our God, brethren. But we have been given a great hope that we're his. And that we will forever be his. We can't mess it up. You can mess up everything in this life, but one thing you will never be able to mess up, and that is the fact that he has redeemed you, and you are forever redeemed.
Amen.
You cannot be unredeemed.
Right.
It is an impossibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because your redemption, brethren, rest in the finished work. The finished work. The complete work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never to be added to. Never be taken away. It's finished, brethren. It is finished. When he declared unto the Father, it was finished. That is exactly what he meant. There is nothing at all left for a child of grace to do. Because our Savior did it all. He's done it all, brethren. Rest in what he has done. Rejoice in what he has done. Declare what he has done for you. And rest in that hope and peace that he has given you. Do you have peace in this world? It was given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have rest in this world, if you have peace and rest in your life, that's a gift.
Amen.
You didn't do anything. Don't get that foolish thought, oh yeah, I'm so good. Oh yeah, I'm so good that I got all of this. Yeah, no, there's nothing good about us, brother. Nothing at all good about us. I can tell you there's nothing good about you because there's nothing good about me either.
That's right.
It's not like I'm picking on you. I'm talking about all of us.
Amen.
But the glorious thing is that we were loved in spite of us. In spite of who we are or what we have done or what we could be. In spite of all of that, we are loved with an everlasting love by the Lord our God. So if you be in it, you think that you're all of that. Just let that old bleeding thought go. And cling on to the love of God, which surpasseth all of our understanding. You know, Brother Gary, me, or nobody else, we can't even begin to expound upon how great that love is. And how glorious that gift is that we have been. Woe is me. You know, brethren, I, like the weather this morning, I think about all the many obstacles that we as God's children encounter in this world. There are many. But there's supposed to be many. Because the Word of God said there's going to be many.
Right.
Not because I said it. But there are, our lives are like a vapor. We would read in James. He declares that our life is but a vapor in this world. But as short as it is, it's going to be full of trouble. One reason for that trouble, brethren, is the real, for God's little children to realize that this world is not our home.
Amen.
But there is a better place in which we will abide when we leave this world. You know, I think about tomorrow will be May 1st. For those who did not get the bulletin. Tomorrow is May 1st. Lord willing, it'll be the first day of the month that this center will be employed. Because I'm finally going to retire, Lord willing, on the 31st of May. So come 1 June, I will be a civilian. I will be an unemployed, retired civilian. And that, by the grace of God. You see, brethren, I don't care what we think we may have accomplished in this world. It is by the grace of God that we journey and that we have our being as we journey in this world. It is by His grace and His grace alone. And when we're blessed to remember that truth, brethren, isn't life sweeter? When we're blessed to realize that we don't have to run this race by ourselves. That we have a coach. We have one who stands in for us. We have one who just picks us up and carries us along. We have one, brethren, who is indeed our all in all. He is our rock. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so when He asked the 12, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said a prophet. And He looks and He says, "But who do you say that I am?" And our brother, Simon Peter, who's always first to come to the call, who's always first to speak, Simon Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told Simon Peter that His Father, which is in heaven, has revealed that truth unto Simon Peter. That same Father in heaven is the same one who reveals it to you.
Amen.
And to I. And to all of His as we journey in this dying world. That revelation, brethren, comes from on high. And brethren, when we're much better people when we realize that truth. And we begin to stop being pharisaical and wagging our fingers and wagging our head when we see some little lamb of grace who seems to be confused about the whole thing. Confused they might be, but love they have received.
Amen. Exactly right.
Amen. Amen. So, brethren, let us rejoice in that which we have been given. Let us rejoice in the truth, in the word of the living God. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Yeah, I feel like putting my head under here. You know, my soul, that inward man, hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Now, who might the psalmist be talking about? Huh? It kind of reminds me of the eunuch. When the eunuch says, well, who is the writer talking about? Whoa, could it be that he's talking about you? Or could it be that he's talking about me? We rather think that he's talking about everybody else except us. You see, brethren, I've been blessed to realize, and I think many of you have as well, is that this flesh of ours, oftentimes and not, does not desire to do those things that are best for us. It seeks indeed to seemingly enjoy for a season those things that are most destructive to a little lamb of God. It doesn't seem to enjoy that peace and rest that the inner man does. Though from time to time that peace and rest is so great that it seems to quieten that old nature of ours. So if your old nature is quietened, it ain't because it wants to be. It's not because it wants to be. It wants to be everything else. But it's because of the Spirit of the living God, brethren, who has come to sup with you for a season. And oh, how sweet it would be if he could just sup with us and we sup with him until he take us out of this world.
Amen.
But oftentimes, that is not the way it is for us. Because of this old thing to call flesh, that hateth indeed peace that we're given. You know, when we think about the last verse there, it says, I am for peace. There's part of you, part of me, part of every little regenerated child of grace that inwardly
right. We
have been given the earnest of the Spirit of the living God that abides in us, that would never do anything, never desire to do anything that would be displeasing to the Lord our God. We all have that in us that have been quickened. And that part is always for peace. It's always for unity with the Spirit of the living God. It always indeed to seek to submit itself unto God. You see, brethren, that is the peace that we all have. But he says, but when I speak, they are for war. So if you're looking for a diagnosis, which many have got, sadly, many a little child of grace has gotten one. Because they didn't understand this warfare. So they look for some man or some woman to explain to them, why is it that I feel this way? Why is it that part of me desires to do that which is right? And why is this other part of me that desires to do all those things that are evil and wrong?
Right.
And they may say, well, you have a split personality. And I would say, no joke.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or maybe you're bipolar. You know, one day you're rejoicing in the Lord, and one day you're depressed. Sounds like David to me.
Sure.
Sounds like many of God's little children. All I'm saying to you, brethren, is we serve a God who supplies our every need. Trust Him.
Amen.
Trust in Him with all of your heart. And the other part of that scripture is, lean not unto your own understanding. Because we don't understand squat. You know, this is a big world that we live in, a vast world we live in. We got universities, we got all these institutions that we, even as God's little children, we look to and we depend upon. Brethren, do we realize that they're ever learning and never coming to an understanding and a knowledge of the truth? But you, little lamb, you have been blessed to come to a knowledge of the truth. And we read that the fear of the Lord, brethren, that is the beginning of knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
So we are to fear the Lord, brethren, and to trust in Him with all of our hearts. It's been my joy to be with you.
Blessed
be the Lord.
Give me instruction. Thank the Lord. Couldn't have been clear. Good preacher. No, don't need to add anything to that. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. I don't know what number it is. Don't help me.
421.
421.